Welcome to Gadgets, a podcast from Gizmodo where we woman-splain the latest technology. I'm your host, Gizmodo reporter Florence Ion, and I'm joined by my boss, consumer technology editor Caitlin McGarry. Hi, boss.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
So glad you could find some time from your busy, busy editing schedule to join us.
Yes.
As you do every week.
I do.
As the co-host here at Jets. We had some technological difficulties, which we will talk about on the episode later today. So that's why we're like just, just flowing on by, flowing with flow. So Caitlin, I know it's like not even the second month of this year, but already we're talking about like new phones.
We are.
Mm-hmm. New things.
Yep. We're preparing for the spring onslaught, which I'm going to be honest, the fall onslaught brings like some more exciting stuff, but I think we might see some interesting gadgets, in the next couple months.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good that my mom saved that gift card I gave her before buying a Pixel, because I feel like what might be next might be more interesting to her.
Oh.
Teaser.
That's a tease.
There's a teaser for you, Mom. All right. After we get to that, we're also going to have Shoshana Wodinsky on today. She's going to come on to talk about Google's new cookies and not the delicious sugar-filled kind that I've been eating a lot of lately.
Okay.
In an attempt to comfort myself. Cookies are so comforting.
Yeah.
I know. They're so comforting. And then, yes, before we go, we will talk about my problems. So I made sure to...
Yes, Fangirl this week is going to be a little different than usual. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we're just finding our way through life and we need an opportunity to talk about that. And this week, well, you're really going through it and we're here for you.
Mercury is in retrograde, which before y'all roll your eyes at me, Mercury actually is the ruler of technology. So it completely tracks here. And as a result, everything has broken down on me. And so we'll talk about that from a non-astrological perspective, I promise.
It all makes sense, but yes, I believe every day you've just had something happen.
Blame
I'm
it
like,
on the
moon. So many
moon?
Things happen to one human person.
It's because there's too many variables. That's the problem. Mm. And don't start writing me about using Apple products. I don't want to hear it.
You know,
I don't
we
want
talk
it in my inbox.
We talk
that's
about
not
this.
Why we have gadgets at Gizmodo.com.
We talk about this regularly because some of the issues you have would be solved by simply switching
consolidating
platforms.
Ecosystems. I'm sure. Okay, before we get into it, let's talk about the platform that I use. So, coming up next. Well, excuse us for having a gadget podcast, but as is behind the name Gadgets, we are here to talk about gadgets.
We are, yes. So. It's about time we stay true to our mission statement.
Precisely. And considering the fact that the rumor mill has just been absolutely heating up with information about what Samsung's next potential launch is going to be, it just felt like this would be an apt time to tell people to hold on to that cash. Mm-hmm. Because you might be buying a new Samsung device in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this week we learned that there is a Samsung event on February 9th. And while we're not entirely sure what is coming, we know a lot based on, well, Samsung is a leaky ship. We'll just say that. The company cannot keep anything under wraps. I swear to God, like, before they launch anything, we've already seen pictures, we've already seen specs, like, we know what the thing is going to be. It's a little ridiculous. But this year is kind of exciting because if you have been using Samsung phones for a while, you know that they used to have a smaller Galaxy phone and then a gigantic Galaxy Note. And, you know, I think a lot of people remember the Note from when it caught fire. If you haven't actually used...
That's definitely when it became infamous. That's for darn sure.
Yes. The Galaxy Note 7 was a fire starter. Mm-hmm. And Samsung had to do a lot of work to sort of rehab the image of the Note lineup. And then last year, it just kind of like went away. And it was like, that was the phone that got people super excited about using Samsung devices because it was like the first absolutely gigantic phone mm-hmm. at a time when every company was making really small phones. Like Apple absolutely followed Samsung's lead on making a phone with a huge screen. And so it was kind of weird that Samsung was just like, okay, now we're done with that. We don't need that anymore. And people were like, no, we absolutely do want a gigantic phone.
Yes.
So this year, Flo, what do mm-hmm. what do we think we know about what to expect?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think my mom is getting her Note back. I have
finally.
She has refused to, she's refused to upgrade her Note 8 because she just loves the heck out of the form factor. And I am, you know, I've just been writing about this Ultra that is supposed to be coming through the pipeline. It's the successor to the Galaxy S21, which mm-hmm. is the phone that exists now if you're a Samsung user. And it's, you know, it's always going to be like higher performing than the last one. It's always going to have a better camera system than the last one. Right. It's always going to be more powerful and have more room. You know, it's mm-hmm. always the newest, coolest thing. But in this vein, what they're going to do, from what the rumors are stating and what I've written on Gizmodo, is the Ultra lineup is going to be the one that will bring you back to that Note form factor. So you will get an S Pen. You'll get a stylus mm-hmm. embedded right mm-hmm. into the phone.
With a little slot. Yeah, I think that's like what people really loved about it. Like, it's basically the only flagship phone you can buy that has a little slot with a pen that just pops right out. You can use it like you would a tablet, you know? And it's kind of weird to me that Samsung is just like, okay, we're not going to call it a Note, but it's a Note, because I think that will confuse people. Like, I think they should just call it a Note. That's what people want it to be. But yeah, they're gonna probably release a Galaxy S22 Ultra that is essentially a Galaxy Note.
Yep. I'm going to have to explain to everybody that this is actually the Note.
Right. They keep saying, including my mom. The company released, you know, a little teaser last week, and it was like, there's some noteworthy features. And it's like, come on, you guys, like, branding is important. It would be like if Apple changed the name of the iPhone, and it was still an iPhone, but it was called something else. You know what people would call it? Mm-hmm. An iPhone. Like, why change the name? Mm-hmm. The name means a lot. The name mm-hmm. is important. So I think that's extremely silly, but whatever. I'm just an unpaid consultant.
Yes, to some degree. I will say that my mother, what she has noted that she loves about the Note is its square corners.
The square corners.
People just love the heck out of those corners, yes. man.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird to me because when I see older Notes, I'm like, I don't know if I love that, but it is distinctive.
Like, it is distinctive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like a very squared off rectangle, and it feels like a serious device. It's always been like really heavy. You know, it doesn't have like the waterfall display, so it looks all rounded and cute. It's like, this is a serious phone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could
for
definitely.
Serious people.
I could, yeah, for serious people. People who need pens. Yeah.
Well, if you're interested in what Samsung's announcing next, you know Gizmodo's all over it. Mm-hmm. The Galaxy Unpacked event is happening on February 9th, as Caitlin mentioned. It's starting at 7 a.m. for West Coast folks, 10 a.m. for East Coast folks. It's a live stream. Anybody can tune into it. And it usually, like, if you hang out on places like Twitter or TikTok, you are likely going to see some content around this, which will be interesting.
Yes. And we will, of course, be reviewing everything that's announced. So mm-hmm. stay tuned for more.
Speaking of reviewing, I feel like this is a good chance for me to mention that we do have the Galaxy S21 Fan Edition in our possession, and I'm going to be checking that out next. And so that's kind of like the later launch of the Samsung flagship. I know there's so many Samsung phones to keep track of, but
yeah. I mean, for
if you use Samsung
for regular folks, just know last year was the S21. This year, probably the S22. Why Samsung chose a couple of weeks before its launch of the S22 to release just like a really cheap version of the S21 is really anyone's guess. Again, if they would like to take advice from an unpaid consultant, I would say that's a bad idea. But like, you know,
Caitlin, this is like the expired food aisle where everything is 50% off.
Like, you have a 1 week window to use this thing, but at least it's cheap. I mean, come on. This is absolutely wild to me. But like, they're just going to do what they're going to do. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I have bought old ramen packets before and they were fine.
I mean, it's not going to kill you. Absolutely.
It's mostly salt.
Yeah.
Preservatives.
Preservatives. So, right.
Yes. I don't know which Samsung phones don't have. Yeah. No.
Not enough preservatives in the world to make this phone a good deal. But again, we're reviewing it. So.
Well, this is a good segue because when we get back, we're going to talk about cookies.
Oh, boy. So.
Yum, yum, yum.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now joining us is our fellow Slackmate, Shoshana Wodinski. Hi, Shosh.
Hi, Flo. Happy to be here.
Welcome to the pod.
I love the pod. It's
good pod. We love you. That's why we're having you here today, because we need you to explain to us some things that are actually not that delicious. And we're talking about cookies.
We are.
It's okay. You're not the first nor last person that's going to make that joke.
I know.
It's too easy.
That's cookies are delicious. I had like a big old black and white one. Ooh. Because I'm in New York. Oh. Yo, they're good.
Yeah.
But internet cookies are not that. They're not delicious.
Mm-mm. No. Shosh, we were wondering actually if you wouldn't mind giving like a quick little distilled rundown. So Google's been in the news lately about what it's doing to its cookies. Again, yes. When is it not?
We were talking about the struggle bus earlier. Google is constantly on the struggle bus.
Yes. I know. Yes, the struggle bus that they commute through rush hour traffic. They're still running those buses, by the way. Anyway, Shosh.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's up with cookies?
What are these cookies?
Okay, so very, very briefly, a cookie is basically just like a little piece of it's a little piece of software that a website kind of loads up that collects data about you for like a certain amount of time, be it like a few weeks, a month. And if you want to talk about your data and cookies, they kind of collect little breadcrumbs of data about you that get collected into some sort of a hole that the cookie company can then use to target you with ads later on. So there's a bunch of different types of cookies. There's ever cookies, there's first party cookies, but the kinds of cookies that Google in particular is planning to deprecate from its browsers are called third-party cookies. And third-party cookies are gross for all sorts of reasons. But just to briefly explain how they work, you've probably experienced something like this yourself. I have a bunch of cats, and I'm also planning a trip to Scotland pretty soon. So if I am on a website for like cat lovers, like a cat forum, that site could drop a cookie on my browser. And then later on, when I'm kind of like looking up prices for flights or whatever, that cookie is like slowly in the background collecting data from my browser as I'm like searching these kind of travel websites. And then when I go back to any site that supports that particular cookie, be it like the Cat Forum or any other website, it will likely display ads for, you know, cheap flights to Scotland or whatever. Right. And I'll be like, what? How did it know? And it's because that gosh dang Cat Forum site was covertly tracking me the whole time.
So this is something that Google has been, as you said, they're trying to get rid of third-party cookies, which is super controversial for advertisers because they're like, no, we would love that information still.
Right.
So what's Google's new solution to how it will make advertisers happy while also creeping people out? Maybe less, TBD?
Maybe less.
TBD. Well, who cares about advertisers really? But like from like a competition perspective, it's really kind of thorny because you're essentially like Google and Facebook collectively kind of dominate more than half of the billions and billions of dollars that people spend on digital ads every year. And what Google is essentially telling people is like, hey, you know, like that measly, like little percent that you're getting, we kind of want all of that because they're moving tracking from like web pages where cookies live into the browser that Google owns. So Google was basically saying like, hey, all of that information is ours now. And advertisers were like, wait, what? And then regulators were like, wait, what? So you had advertisers and regulators both in the EU and in the US just being like, competition-wise, this doesn't seem great. And from a privacy perspective, like, it kind of also didn't seem great because, hang on, let me back up a little bit. So the idea that Google first rolled out was called Flock, like a flock of birds. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea that involved moving things from the webpage into the browser. Everyone was mad about it. But also people were mad from a privacy perspective because Google was essentially like, hey, we're getting rid of those creepy cookies you were complaining about. Isn't this great? But then folks weren't like, hey, Google's still kind of doing a lot of the tracking here. And the way they were doing the tracking was pretty insidious. Because the idea was that people's browsers would be assigned to a certain group based on people's browsing behaviors. So flocks were anonymous. They were lumped together with like thousands of people that like also browsed cat websites and were also looking for flights to Scotland and were also doing all these things. So people couldn't be individually identified the same way a cookie could individually identify people. But there wasn't really anything in place to keep a flock from disclosing, like, from being built around somebody's sexuality or race or gender. Because if I am, like, a good example is with porn websites. Stay with me here.
All right, folks, we're getting into it.
Listen.
It's time to talk about porn.
it's time to talk about porn. Because, like, for example, there's a lot of, like, cookie providers that won't work with porn sites for very obvious reasons. But, you know, if we're talking about, like, a gay porn website, I don't know the names of those, but there's plenty of them out there.
Sure.
If one of those sites, like, basically onboarded these flock software onto its back end, anybody visiting that site could have that website, like, used to create a flock about them. So because flocks were essentially aggregated and anonymous and constructed from like such large groups of people, there was nothing really stopping anybody from creating flocks based on that sort of data. And there wasn't really anything users could do either. So folks in the privacy space got really mad for obvious reasons. Folks in competition were mad. So Google's like, we're scrapping that. We're going to roll out this hot new stuff called Topics. And unlike...
Sure, why not?
It's so hot.
Called Topics. And Google announced that this week. It's great. And what Topics does is that instead of like relegating you to a specific bucket based on your browsing history, it still kind of does that, but it only uses like a set list of topics. So instead of potentially labeling somebody based on like the porn that they browse, it instead labels people, and these topics are all freely available. Folks can browse them. It labels people based on like, I don't know, whether they're interested in marriage or whether they're interested in electronic music or whether they're interested in like buying a house, things like that, that are all relatively safe and family friendly. And
right.
Google promises that all of the topics that we're making, at least right now, they're all like, none of them are sensitive. It doesn't have that issue that Flock did. And because anyone, like, it posted like a repo full of like, there's like about 350 of them out there. It's really good for transparency too. And like, sure, Google is still the one that will assign your browser to a particular topic, and Google still controls all of that, but like, this is happening in Chrome specifically. So Google kind of always held like a full deck of cards there.
Right. So from a user standpoint, before companies knew exactly, like, I was the person looking for all this stuff, Flock made it so I was a part of a group of people who was looking at this specific stuff. And now I'm just a part of a topic that is like very benign. And like, maybe it's fine if I get served ads for electronic music concerts or whatever. So like, on the whole, does this seem better?
It does. Okay. No. It like inarguably does, which is why like a lot of us are out there just like waiting for Google to kind of drop the ball the way Google usually does.
Because, inevitably, like, yes.
Yeah, because you know, it's just 350 topics right now, but like major data brokers out there will offer you like more than 4,000, and those often include things like race or political leanings or things like that. So what Google's offering here seems to be kind of like they're trying to make everyone happy. But it's very clearly like early stages and could quickly spiral downhill depending on like what the company does. And Google always spirals downhill. So like,
it's a massive conglomerate. I mean,
yeah. And advertisers want those sensitive categories. So like they're like, and Google wants to keep advertisers happy because that's how it makes its money. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely something to watch. But right now, it seems good. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk.
I will say, if you try and Google search for how to turn off cookies, it'll take you to the Google support page, which says, allow all cookies, block all cookies, not recommended. It is not recommended that you block all that tracking, because then how will ads be served to you?
And to be fair, like, so a lot of people don't mind being tracked because they like the super specific ads. Like, they like the cheap flights ad that shows up on the cat forum because, like, then they might book the cheap flight. Like, don't kill me, but like, people don't care a lot about their privacy.
It's
absolutely true. But also, like, there's certain types of cookies that like keep you logged in when you visit a webpage,
right?
And if you and if you turn them off, you have to log in every single time.
Yeah.
So it's a matter. Yeah. It's. I mean, privacy is about trade-offs, and it's just like, if you'd rather have the convenience, then it's like, personally, like, I leave cookies on because heck yeah, I want a cheap flight to Scotland. Those things are expensive, and like, I hate having to log in. So like,
hate it.
Yeah, exactly. So like, even though I'm a privacy reporter, I understand that like, time is money.
Yeah.
And like,
In this society.
Yeah. Yes, in this society. Yeah.
Shosh, I wanted to ask you something sort of related. It's just, the thing is, like, I understand why you're not on TikTok, but I really feel
it's not a privacy thing. It's like a time thing. I just know I'll get sucked in.
No, that's why I understand why you're not on TikTok, because it is true that I have lost hours of my life to it in the last couple of weeks.
And lots of your money from supporting TikTok creators.
Yeah. Wait, seriously? Aww.
Yes.
It's really heartwarming, but we need to stage an intervention.
Listen, people offer services. I give them money. That's how it works.
Yeah. I support YouTubers. Like, it's fine. We all have our...
See? Yeah. But the thing is like, my algorithm has taken me into the, you know, the tech like corners of it, where it's all these people coming in and like, I've got an explainer for you. And the latest meme that's been going around lately is just about, the clip starts with, tell me something about a job you used to work at that people might not know about a place, you know, you used to work at. And some former tech people have been like stitching their answers to this as part of the meme. And the biggest one that has been surfacing is, the tech companies are actually listening to you.
That's a psyop. That's like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's not real.
I mean, okay, so there's tons of ways companies track you. Like, cookies are just one way. If you walk outside, there's a digital billboard that you walk by. That's another way. If you have a connected television, that's another way. If you have a smart refrigerator, that's another way. Tracking things like phone calls in particular, it's just legally thorny because of wiretapping laws. And like at a certain point, there's tech companies that like will look at the kind of voice data landscape that you get from like smart homes, for example, like smart home tech. And they'll just be like, you know, there's probably something there, but we don't want to wade into that because it's so legally kind of treacherous. That said, there are call tracking companies that are out there that kind of specialize in this stuff. But, and this is a very big but, they're not like listening to your phone calls. If you ever like call up like a pharmacy or like an insurance company and they say this call may be monitored for like quality purposes, that's what that means. There's a tracking company on the other end that's like kind of sorting through the content of that call to like better track you or target you with stuff further down the line, either from that company that you're talking to or by somebody else. But yeah, I know. But notice how you don't, when you're talking to like your grandma, you don't hear this call may be monitored for quality assurance. And like, if you do, I have some bad news about your grandma.
Grandma's tracking us for ads too. Oh God, it never ends.
Flo, but to bring it back to what you were saying, people that work in tech are smart, but they don't always know what they're talking about. They're like smart
or contextualize it, or
they're smart in like very specific ways, and they might just be saying what they're saying for clout. Because clout's great
on TikTok. Clout chasing.
No. I can't believe it.
see,
Shoshana.
I don't know how clout works because I'm not on TikTok.
On that note, Shosh, thank you for explaining it all to us.
Thank you so
much. We appreciate you. thanks for
having me on, and I'm sorry.
The world is a much bleaker place now that we know all of the facts, but we are enlightened, so thank you.
That's why I'm here.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shosh.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Well, it's that time again where we fangirl. Well, I guess we can't fan over something that brings us disdain.
Well, you're really going through it today. I feel like, we can't really fangirl over this, but we're manifesting some solutions to your tech problems, and we're fangirling over the eventual freedom you'll feel from this tech purgatory that you're in. Can you tell us what's going on with you?
Sure. Well, I want to tell folks who might be feeling like I am, just let down by all their stuff. I have this laptop that I bought and spent a lot of money on in the midst of a supply chain shortage, and it's been very on and off with things, but it's actually not causing me the problem. The problem is that I had a USB dock that was powering up everything. And the USB dock seems to have burnt out. So yesterday, when I tried to lock back onto my computer after a couple days that I had to take off due to a never-ending migraine.
It's just a snowball
felt like it exploded and just nothing would fire up. And I, The thing with laptops, though, folks, is that you're not really supposed to use them like a desktop. You're not actually supposed to plug in like 10 plus things and have it work in that way. And so that's why I am having problems.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Like, I really... Okay. So my solutions for you historically have been to perhaps buy an Apple product that is cheaper than the Dell that you spent thousands of dollars on, and also just kind of like works. But I realize, I know when I say it, that you're not going to take that advice because you're just not in that ecosystem. You're like so far beyond switching that it just would be impossible. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's useful for you to experience these problems both so I can be like, I'm never gonna experience this because I don't use those products. But also because so many people, like a lot of us are still working from home. So many people have had to piece together, you know, home setups with just like things that they've been able to track down when it's hard to buy stuff. And like the more things you add to your setup, the higher likelihood that something's going to fail. And then it sends like your whole, basically kills your entire system.
Yeah. The problem is I'm a podcaster. That's my big problem. Listen, and I need a podcast machine. That's what I need. I mean, I'm bringing this up because I feel like folks out there who are like, why can't my laptop do everything? It's because your laptop is actually not supposed to do everything. It's supposed to be your mobile computer, not unless you buy like a gaming PC. But if you buy a gaming laptop, I should say they are actually equipped with much bigger power supplies, so they can actually power up more things. The whole point of this laptop that I have, it's an ultra thin unibody. So it's supposed to be for like video editing on the go, for when I'm on the go, not at home all the time. But I defaulted to this because there were no components to build a PC, which I wanted to do. And so I just kind of went for the next best thing I could think of. Mm-hmm. And it's just been, I do feel like I would not be having these problems if we were not still in the midst of a pandemic with supply chain issues. Sure. And, you know, I could buy a graphics card, I could buy a processor, I could buy a PC case and put all these things together. And I just want to bring it up because if anybody out there is just like also having shitty computer problems, just know that it happens even to those of us who make our living telling you all about it.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean,
it's super common.
Yeah, it's super common. And like, we're all just relying on this stuff all the time. Like, way more than we would be normally. Like, usually I would have a work machine, a personal machine. I'd leave my work machine at the office. I'd come home. Like, I'd have, you know, I have like my MacBook Air, and I would be able to stretch things out across multiple things. And now I'm just doing everything on one thing. So it's definitely like, it's getting harder, as it is just in life, to separate your work from your personal life.
Yes.
And that's affecting the gadgets we use as well.
Yep, it's very true. Thankfully, it's not my phone giving me problems, which is a surprise.
Yeah.
Yep. And I can admit that as an Android user. I know what I signed up for.
I just like, well, I would just like to see you for 1 month just completely switch to like an iPhone MacBook setup and just watch like the little sparks come out of your ears. And as can like you fall in love.
Can I tell you, my husband has been really just turning on me. When I met him, he was a Windows fanboy. We've been together for a long time. And we went to Best Buy so I could go buy this like last minute dock to try and get through. And I was telling him how Caitlin Zoe was on my case about upgrading to Apple. And he's like, why don't you? Why don't you start covering Apple things?
Yes.
He's like, because he has he has two MacBook Pros now. He has one for work because he found out he likes it better for coding. And he has one for making music now because he's like super into making synth wave.
Okay. Wow. I love this journey.
Yeah, he has like this whole MacBook Pro setup with like all the peripherals you can connect to it. And the thing is, he gave me his dock yesterday, the little one that he uses. And it wasn't powering up my PC. And he's like, it always works fine on the Mac with the music stuff.
Interesting. We should explore that in more detail.
I know. His music stuff is, it's.
Well, see, I get it. I really get it. And I appreciate that you are on the other side of this divide, because I get a lot of interesting perspective from you. I just would like to see you try it out for a little bit, just to see what happens. But
we should do the great switch. You switch with me.
Oh, God. It's been a while since I've had to rely on Windows full time. Android is fine. I've used a million Android phones.
Yes.
But yeah, getting used to Windows again would be, oh God.
I am such a Windows power user, because I've been using it since I was a kid. So it's just so,
you know what's funny?
Ingrained in me.
I grew up using Windows. I didn't use a Mac until I was like well into college. Like my PC when I...
Did you have an iBook?
I had the white MacBook.
Yeah, you did.
The white plastic MacBook, chunky as hell. I actually still own it. It's
never get rid of it. I would never get rid of it for you. It's a collector's item.
Yeah, it doesn't hold a charge anymore, which I know because I had to power it up a few years ago to get all the photos I had off of it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was like, I should probably do that before this thing just like doesn't turn on anymore. But yeah, I grew up I used Windows. I got my first computer. Our family got our first computer when I was like 6 years old, and I used Windows up until I was 20. And I just don't know. I don't know if I could switch back to it. It's been so long, but I would be willing to try this out. Let's talk about it.
We should talk about it. But we should switch everything too. I mean, you should switch your smartwatch and like go full.
The thing is that
this is not a new concept. I know people have written about this before, but it's always, it's always interesting. You know, I always wonder what would life be like with an Apple Watch? Would I be happier?
The great question. Would I be happier with an Apple Watch? I mean, probably more so than the Android watches we've seen so far. But maybe we'll see something from Google this year on that front. Little teaser.
That's right. You can read about that on Gizmodo.com, right, by the way, if you're interested. Just put together a little rumor roundup about all the rumors.
Yeah. We expect some big things in May. So... just around the corner.
Just in time for my birthday, in case anybody's wondering. Google does plan its product launches around my birthday.
True. Yeah, that's historically accurate.
I've spent a lot of my birthdays on the floor at Google I.O. So, yeah.
Wow.
I know. Anyway, we've got plenty of more gadgets to look forward to this year. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in every week to Gadgets. We've been really enjoying you and enjoying having you here. And if you like what you listen to, we'd really love for you to tell your friends. You can also, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That really helps us out a lot, actually. Even if you don't write anything, it helps a lot. So just go and slip us a fiver. Five star.
Five stars or nothing, please.
Exactly. And then if you've got any like questions, comments, suggestions, you can always send us an email at gadgets@gizmodo.com. That goes to both me and Caitlin, and we will read whatever you've got. You can also tweet us at Gizmodo, or you can tweet us at our personal Twitter profiles. I'm at @OthatFlow. Caitlin is at Caitlin_McGarry. Don't forget that little underscore. Mm-hmm. That's how you'll find her. We would like to thank our producer and sound engineer, Ryan Allen. Thank you so much for making us sound good and for disclosing before you record us every week. As per California law.
Yes, I believe that is required.
We also want to thank our cover designer, Vicky Lita. We always will think of you when we look at our beautiful cover art. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll be here again next week to drag you through all of the wild gadget news. Mm-hmm. So come. Drag through with us.
Yes. Join us on this journey.